The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Good morning. Welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so glad that you have joined us today for this community, the transformational community that are trying to be like Jesus, loving like Jesus, and serving like Jesus. I'm so glad that you have joined us today for our study in the book of Luke. As you know, the apprentice of Jesus of this community, the rescue worker community, has a model for their lives. And the model for our group, for our ministry is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the way that we want to try to live. That are the principles and values of this community. Well, we are on our last day of this week, 9 weeks already. And as we finish today, next week, we'll start the 10th week. And that's a blessing. And I didn't know that we would be together up to this point, but I praise God for this opportunity. And I praise God for those that are watching live and those that will be watching or listening later. May God bless you. Well, today, since is our last day of this week, we are reading for the last time our memory verse for this week. And the memory verse for this week comes from Luke chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. The same way we need to do the same. Leaving behind paradigms, thoughts, ideas about who is God, what is the kingdom of God, how to relate to God, how to behave, right? Leave behind what we think about religious life and embrace Jesus' way, Jesus' kingdom, and his lordship. And that's so crucial. And that is, I think, one of the main points or the heart of this message. For that, we need to come before God every single day. You see, it's a transformational journey. It's not an event. It's an ongoing process that we are challenged by new ways of seeing the world, seeing people, seeing God through Jesus Christ, and aligning who we are according to this God, these new principles, this new wine, this new garment that Jesus is presenting. It's an ongoing process. And we need the Holy Spirit to guide us through this process. And more than that, we need the Holy Spirit to make the transformation. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no way. No way to do anything. And for that, we need to come to God and ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for the sight, for the ear, for the heart to be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need to be in His presence. And we know, according to Hebrews 4:16, that so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. We know that God is available to us and the Holy Spirit and God comes to us in a merciful way, in a graceful way. And we praise God for that. So I want to give you a moment for you to connect with God, to align yourself with God, to make yourself available for you to surrender. And ask for guidance so we can understand the Bible verse for today. And then, after this moment, we'll come back for a short prayer and the study of Luke chapter 6, starting verse 6 to verse 11. So take this moment to come into God's presence. Pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for your grace and mercy towards us. Lord, we ask your guidance and direction as we study Luke chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. Help us to understand who God is. Help us to understand your kingdom. Help us to understand Jesus Christ. Help us to understand what is expected from us, Jesus' apprentices. Help us to understand, God, your plan for our lives. Forgive our sins, Lord. Bring peace for those that are in need. Comfort, healing, forgiveness. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So before we start reading Luke chapter 6, verse 6 to 11, I think it's important for us to know where we are. We are studying the early days of Jesus' public ministry. Luke is trying to present who is Jesus, what is the kingdom of God, and what is the purpose of Jesus here. He presents Jesus as the great preacher, rabbi, master, the one that has authority over the demons and the evil spirits. Jesus is the one that has authority over the diseases, the nature. He has authority over sin. Jesus is the one that comes to proclaim God's kingdom and inviting people to be part of this kingdom. Jesus' script for his life and his ministry is described in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19, the first words of the public ministry of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. You see, these words are the script, the itinerary for Jesus Christ. And that's the reason we come back here, because what we see throughout Jesus' ministry is the fulfillment of this script. And if that is the script of Jesus, that should be our script, our itinerary for our lives. That should be our mission. Because that was Jesus' mission. And we as apprentices of Jesus, we are here to follow him, to love like he loved and serve like he served. And we need to keep in mind, because the Bible verse that we're studying today goes back to the Sabbath. And if the Sabbath day, something that we study yesterday and we had some glimpses in the other days, is this day that celebrates the kingdom of God, that celebrates the king of this kingdom, that celebrates the graceful nature of this kingdom. If the Sabbath day is this day, the Sabbath day should be the day where this mission that is present in Luke 4, 18 and 19 is fulfilled. But unfortunately, what we see among those that keep the Sabbath day today, that they celebrate the Sabbath day as more as a monastic day than a day of bringing news, good news to the poor, to proclaim that captives will be released, blind will see, the oppressed be set free, and celebrating the grace, the time of the Lord's favor has come, the Jubilee, the restoration. And it is interesting because Jesus, he healed and made miracles on the Sabbath day in a very unique way. More than one third of Jesus' miracles that took place and are registered in the Gospels, they took place on the Sabbath day. So Jesus is making the Sabbath the day that celebrates the King of God and express the kingdom of God. And that's crucial for us to understand. But this way of Jesus doing and explaining God and his kingdom brings some friction with the people and understanding with the Jewish leaders at the time. They had a different understanding about the kingdom. They had a different understanding how to bring the kingdom. Therefore, they are in friction with Jesus' way. And even following up with what we learn on chapter 5, Jesus comes to present this new wine, this new garment. You see, it's not something different because it's still wine, it's still garment. But it's new, it's afresh, it's a different reality that we need to embrace. But people, they don't want to embrace new realities. We don't like change. And we think that the way we think, the way we behave is the perfect way. But Jesus comes to confront and say, you need to follow me. And follow me means leave behind how you understood, how you believe, how you behave, and come and embrace my way. So there's tension here. Tension, and we saw so far about Jesus forgiving the sins. Tension of Jesus hanging out with sinners and eating with them. Tension about fasting. And we saw yesterday tension about the Sabbath in a sense of eating or providing for the personal needs. So yesterday we saw Jesus providing for the needs or protecting the right of his disciples to eat or harvest in a sense on the Sabbath day. And here is about doing good deeds on the Sabbath day. So based on that, let's turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 6. On another Sabbath day, so it's not the same day that the disciples are in the field grabbing some grains, but it's another Sabbath day. A man with a deformed right hand was in the synagogue while Jesus was teaching. So there's a man there. He's not full, restored. He's not perfect in a sense. And he's there. And we need to understand something here. And maybe you should read verse 7. The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees watched Jesus closely. If he healed this man's hand, they planned to accuse him on working on the Sabbath. So let's try to understand what's happening here. Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, something that we see over and over. He is on this meeting hall and he's ministering there. And there are teachers of religious law and Pharisees, and they are watching Jesus closely. And here we need to pay attention because the original word for watched is idea of spying. They are not there to learn. They are not there to submit. They are there to spy and create a plot how we can catch Jesus Christ. And we see here that they had a plan. If Jesus healed that man with that hand on the Sabbath day, he would break the law. How? And what's behind here? Okay, so let's try to understand. So as I said, and maybe let me try to explain who are these teachers of religious law, right? The doctors of the law, or scribes. I have explained a little bit about Pharisees, but I have mentioned about this group up to this point. So the proper word here for the teachers of religious law will be scribes. And the word scribe has the idea of counting numbers. And what they are counting? Well, when someone was supposed to copy the Bible by hand, they were supposed to copy perfectly. So what they will do, they will count in a line how many words they had or many letters they had. So they had to count. And so as they copy what is on the Word of God in the new, let's say, scroll, they need to count if they have the same number of words and letters. And that's crucial. So they need to count. And so that's the idea of counting. Scribes, they are counting. But those scribes, they don't only copy the Bible by hand, but they are responsible for legal documents or even being judges of how to apply moral laws and even religious laws. So they are kind of defining what is right and what is wrong based on the Bible for the life of people. And many Pharisees, they were scribes. They had this, let's say, responsibility or profession. Many rabbis were scribes. That was the way that they could fund themselves, bring money for their family and their lives, right? So we have this group and this group of people here, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And again, they had the wrong idea about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something that will happen here. It's a political kingdom. And the way to bring this political kingdom, the reign of Israel over the other nations, right, was through keeping God's law perfectly. And because they are not experienced the kingdom of Israel, and the contrary, they are experienced the Roman Empire, that means on their mind that people have not kept the law perfect, therefore the kingdom didn't come. So what's our goal here is to make sure that people understand the law perfect and keep the law perfect. And in order to protect the law to be breaked, their interpretation or even new laws were created to protect the main law. But as they create the other laws to protect the main law, they destroy, in a sense, or didn't take into consideration the real meaning of the law. So as they protect the law of being broken, they are changing the real meaning of that law. So for them, well, we need to keep the Sabbath day holy. The Sabbath is to celebrate the King, His kingdom, His nature. So in order to do that, we are not supposed to work on that day at all. And if I'm not supposed to work, that means I a physician just can provide healing or treatment for someone on the Sabbath day if that person will die. If the person can handle the pain or the situation until the next day, you should wait for the next day to ministry to this person and heal this person. Because if you don't need to do on the Sabbath day, don't do it. That was their mindset. If you don't need to do it, don't do it. If you can wait, wait. So if someone is in fever, but you know that is not for death, you know what? Wait until the Sabbath is done. Let's protect the Sabbath. If someone is hungry, but they can handle until the next day, okay, stay hungry, and the next day will feed you. You see, the Sabbath day that was supposed to experience, express the love of God, became a way of oppression. And it is terrible what they have done with the Sabbath day. And if this mentality, if I can do it the next day, I'll not do it right now. I'll not help right now. So that man in the synagogue that had a deformed right hand was not an issue of death and life. He had been probably with that hand for many days, weeks, or even years. So it does make sense to it makes sense to wait for the next day for Jesus to heal them. And I tell you, maybe the Pharisees and the teachers of the law brought that man to Jesus in the synagogue to see how what he would do. And here I'm just guessing, right? Because we see a plot here, right? But listen, see how sorry for the expression, how sick is this mentality, because you're not supposed to do good on Sabbath day because you can do it another day, but it's okay for you to have a plot on the Sabbath day. It is okay for you to spy on the Sabbath day, but doing good? No, that cannot. So that man will not die, so it's not necessary for Jesus to heal that man on the Sabbath day. And that is the mentality, that's the way they see. But the Sabbath day is the day that we celebrate the kingdom of God, God, Jesus, and the values and principles of the kingdom. And if the kingdom is about healing, bringing release, setting people free, presenting grace, the Sabbath day is the day for doing good and doing healing. Verse 8. But Jesus knew their thoughts. Luke is mentioned that Jesus is God. He can read. He understands what's going on there. He said to the man with the deformed hand, come. And stand in front of everyone. He called him. He puts that man in the middle. Remember that the synagogue didn't have a theater style like we have today, or the church today. It was a kind of a circle style where each one could see each other. So Jesus put him probably in the middle to that man. So the man came. Continue verse 8. So the man came forward. Verse 9. Then Jesus said to his critics, right? So see how he look described. It's not the Pharisees and the doctors of the law anymore. It's their critics. I have a question for you. Who answers the questions about interpreting the law? The doctors of the law. Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is a day for doing evil? Jesus starts saying, is a day of good or evil? Because what they are doing in their heads, it is evil. The plot, spying. So, is a day for good or for evil? You see, Jesus is not questioning here if we should keep the Sabbath or not. That's not the question. And not even how. But Jesus is questioning the essence of the Sabbath. And he goes beyond that and connects. Is this a day to save life or to destroy it? So doing good is saving. Doing bad is destroying. And Jesus here, he puts an argument that is very crucial for us. For us not to offer good, we are providing evil. When we retain our love towards an other person, when we don't love them, when don't show love them, we are showing hate. Not doing good, it's doing evil. But the situation of the Pharisees and the doctors of the law is more than that. They have a plot. So it is not okay for God to heal on the Sabbath day, but it's okay to do a plot on the Sabbath day. Wow. It is very interesting because some members that keep the Sabbath day, and I'm from the Adventist tradition where we keep the seventh day of the week, Saturday, as the Sabbath day, sometimes they are not willing to do good because, oh, we can do that in another day. How many times? We don't need to do this day. We can do it another day. But they're okay of criticizing, saying bad stuff about people on that Sabbath day. So it's not okay to serve because we can serve in another day, but it's okay to kill people's reputation, to kill people's character, to go against the love of the neighbor. So that is the mentality, what's going on here. And here, Jesus used a word, save life. And the word save life here, this word save has the idea of restore. In the Septuagint, this word is used to, the same word in Greek word was used to describe to God's restoration of Israel, to bring back to the original. So God is saying, it's not okay to bring back to the original plan, to restore the dignity of people, to show the love. If the Sabbath day is the day of the Lord, and represents God's and His kingdom, this day should be a day of grace, a day of service, and not necessarily a monastic day. And I can tell you, sometimes I didn't work on the Sabbath day. I was in this monastic day, but I did not keep the Sabbath because I didn't love my neighbor as I should. And sometimes I did not help or love my neighbor because I thought, if I do that, I'm breaking the Sabbath. Let me finish the Sabbath day, then I'll show and present the love, provide for his need. And I just remember my neighbor working on his fence by himself, and I come to my home after worshiping the churches, and I was, should I help my neighbor or not? And say, no, I cannot, because if I do that, I'm breaking the Sabbath. And as I look back, I say, Lord, forgive me. He was in need of my help. He was by himself. And I could show that this day was a day of love and care. I could come and help him. But I knew, or I understood that that would be wrong. And I knew if a member of my church would see the pastor building a fence on the Sabbath day, that they would consider me breaking law and said, no, it's better not. For my reputation, for my lack of understanding, I kept myself off showing love to my neighbor. Therefore, I show hate. I don't care. You're by yourself, finished by yourself. And that is not the goal of the Sabbath day. Wow. The Sabbath day is not a monastic day. The Sabbath day is a day where the kingdom of God and its principles must be present, reflect, and demonstrate. The Sabbath day needs to be the day where the power of the Holy Spirit is available, where the good news to the poor are presented, where the captives are released, the blind see, the oppressed are set free, and where people receive and experience grace. So Jesus ask that question. And then comes verse 10. He looked around at them one by one and said to that man. So Jesus put the question and then he started looking to each person. You don't want me to do good to restore this man, but it's okay for you to have a plot against me, have an evil thought. Hey, that's not the kingdom. That's not God. That's not God's way. Then said to the man, Jesus said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and it was restored. Jesus did good on the Sabbath day. He lived and displayed God's kingdom and its value on the Sabbath day. And here, the word hand used here could define just the hand or the arm. But the point was, it was restored. Restored to the original. And that is the goal for the Sabbath day, to restore. Restore the dignity of people. To restore the love for one another. To restore the connection with God. It is the day to display. But what happened? Verse 11. At this, the enemies of Jesus. You see how there are different ways to describe this group. First, Luke says, oh, they are Pharisees and doctors of the law, and they have some plans against Jesus. Then Luke present them as critics of Jesus. But now they became enemies of Jesus. Enemies of the kingdom. Enemies of God. Because Jesus broke or shaked their understanding of the Sabbath and their understanding of God, their understanding of the kingdom of God, their understanding of connection with God. And, well, I would challenge you, but I don't want to challenge you because I don't want to see you suffering. But try to make the Sabbath day in your church, if you're Sabbath keeping or Sunday keeping, try to make the Sabbath day in your church a day of service instead of a day of worship service. And you'll see the pushback. What if the Sabbath day was a day of service? What if the Sabbath day would be the day that we come together to display God's love, God's kingdom, who He is? What if the Sabbath day was a flag of the loving kingdom? What if? I tell you, you have enemies. Like Jesus had. At this, the enemies of Jesus were wild with rage and began to discuss what to do with him. They now are enemies. They're not just critics. They hate him. And they are planning to kill him. What we want to do with him. How can we stop that? Whoa. Jesus died for our sins. We know that. But the reason that led Jesus to die for our sins is because Jesus presented God, His kingdom, the way we should understand and believe and practice. That was the reason led Jesus to die. Jesus got killed, not by Romans, but religious people. Because Jesus was messing up with their understanding of God, their understanding of the kingdom, and their practice of the kingdom. But if we want to say, like Levi said, and the memory verse for us today, leave everything behind. Leave your paradigms, your concepts, your understanding about what is church, what is Sabbath, and follow the way of Jesus. That is what it means to be an apprentice of Jesus. Following the way of Jesus. So let me ask you. Are you following the way of Jesus? Or the way of man? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings, your guidance, and your love for us. I know, Lord, that many times I thought I was being faithful to you, keeping my understanding of the law of God, but my interpretation was keeping me and kept me from really fulfilling the law of love. So, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And I pray, Lord, that you will forgive everyone that is listening to my voice. And that somehow we'll be apprentices of Jesus and not afraid to stand up for the kingdom and the kingdom's way. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go for our questions of reflection. And here we are. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? I pray that you be reflecting about this story. I tell you, I will. And I pray that you'll be back next week as we start our 11th week. And we start with Jesus choosing his 12 apostles, starting verse 12. And please, pray about it. Pray about what we study. Share what we're studying here. As you know, we have an archive, right, of all the presentations up to this point. And you can visit our website, therescueworker.com. There you have the archive for the videos on YouTube or Facebook. And we have podcasts so people can listen as they drive, as they walk, as they play. But the important is for us to learn more about Jesus so we can know how to be Jesus' apprentices. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. And I hope to see you next week.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.